Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Stream the entire Men's Room radio program. Download the radio.com app now. All right, I ran a question. Question, who was the worst teacher that you ever had?
Kevin, we gave you some time to think about it. Who comes to mind?
Oh, my fifth grade English teacher.
Mine was
I can't remember
grade.
Her name, but I was like, wasn't very good at reading, or I was pretty good at writing. Just reading in general kind of got me. And she kind of like made it out to like pick on me for it, like in class in front of everybody.
That's messed up, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I had my teacher, Miss Clifford, second grade, and this was Rochester, I think this was Plank Road Elementary School, all right? So looking back, I understand what a lot of her problem was, but at the time, I've always been left-handed. Anyway, so she was one of those people when we had to write anything on that big-ass dotted line paper, you know, so we would write whatever it is we had to write. I've always had pretty good handwriting. It's just something that matters to me, right? No big deal, but she would not let me write with my left hand. Right? And it did not make sense to me. And we could be in the middle of whatever it is we're doing. The class is quiet. Everyone's writing. And she would just kind of quietly walk up, pull the pencil out of my left hand, and put it in my right hand. And I'd be in trouble if I didn't. So I would write. But then anyway, you take a report card home, and one of the things you get graded on in elementary school, at least then, was your penmanship. And it was just garbage. It was absolute garbage. My father's like, man, I've seen you write. Why? He thinks I'm messing around in class. And I said, look, man, old woman Clifford there, she keeps stuffing the pencil in my right hand. He's like, but you're left-handed. I'm like, I know that. You know that. Even she knows that. I'm just telling you what the deal is, but I'm still a little kid, so I don't understand. Anyway, they talked to her, and that was not a problem again, but she was so mean to me. Like, I could write with my left hand after that.
Oh, my God.
This is what I'm saying. The woman was a freaking lunatic.
We had this guidance counselor in high school. He would... He was one of those guys who flirted with the girls that were seniors and juniors all the time. So he already had this creepy aspect to him that was just ridiculous. But as a guidance counselor, he's supposed to help you to figure out maybe what you're going to do with your life or what you should do after high school. Or
wouldn't you have a different job?
Give you guidance, right? Yeah. So that was this guy's.
I mean, no offense. I'm glad you're there, and that's cool, I think, for elementary school. But in high school, you need to have a different job if you're trying to give advice to people.
But he would walk up to you and go, and he'd be like, Ted, I wouldn't go to school. I wouldn't go to college. I just start working right now. You don't even need to graduate. Maybe just go get your GED. That was the kind of guy he was. And he would say, he told me personally, he's like, man, don't go to school. You're not going to learn anything. You should probably just go work wherever you can find a job. And I was like, thanks for the guidance counselor.
Like, as a guidance counselor?
Yeah, you're the guidance counselor, right?
What is the criteria to be the guidance counselor?
You became a city councilman.
Oh, boy.
Jeez.
I don't know. But, I mean, I had some in my school that I really liked.
Sure.
And that's the difference. There's teachers, I remember a teacher, ironically, from, fifth grade that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But, even at my age now, I don't look back of, being like, oh. Because I had teachers in high school that were very tough. But as you graduate and get out of there, you realize why they were.
That's the difference. High school teachers, you kind of understand the game they're playing. And if you're in high school, not just deal with them. Generally speaking, they have their best interest at heart. You knucklehead, sit down, shut up. Elementary school, there was Miss Clifford. She was just crazy religious woman, right? Can't help her.
My mom talks about that. She said they when she was in school, they thought people that were left-handed were possessed by the devil.
Exactly. And Miss Clifford, she was old. Look, I'm 50. She was old when I was in second grade. There's no chance this woman's alive. And if she is, she's inhuman. It's just that simple to state. But I didn't get that. And looking back, it's like, maybe you don't hire crazy people. Fifth grade, Miss Buckowitz, I would just say she was as nice as her name. And then, but the worst was Miss McNally. Seventh grade, she was straight up racist. Hated me, right? But always made trouble for me in every capacity.
What was her last name again?
Miss McNally.
McNally, huh? I wonder why that doesn't sound racist at all.
But I will say this. And I won't say this woman's name in case she still lives in the Rochester area, but this chick also hated her. She grabbed a, it was a Rotten Tomato, and Mr. McNally had turned her back to the class, seventh grade. She's writing something on the chalkboard. And this tomato smashes right next to her head. They were trying to hit her. They just missed, but like a pulp and everything, sprayed all over her face. She turned around. She looks at me first, and I'm like, come on, man. I mean, like, come on. But anyway, she wanted to know who threw the tomato. No one in the class fessed up. It was one of the pure solidarity. Nobody said a thing. I remember she broke down in tears, and this is weird. It made me so happy to see that bitch cry. Anyway, she ran out. She got the vice principal. We all the whole deal was we're going to suspend the class for a day if no one's going to fess up and say you did it. Nobody rolled.
We get out of there.
Yeah, F you.
And then the truth of the matter is you always remember your bad teachers because most of them are good.
You know what I mean?
Like, these were not those, but
easier,
yes.
It's easier to pick out, I think, someone who's not a good teacher because for the most part, I think I was lucky to have good teachers.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I say. Some teachers in retrospect, sure. You look back and you go, oh, I get it. I didn't get it as a teenager.
Right.
But there's some teachers who are just like, that person just was mean.
Reason why I asked who was the worst teacher he had, it's hard to imagine that this guy could be any less qualified for his job. A guy named Michael Montalto, a lecturer at a college in Melbourne, Australia, back in 2014. He was 24 years old at the time, and he was teaching ethics.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, he tried to recruit a few students for threesomes, flashed them as junk, routinely helicoptered in front of them, and threatened to fail a female student if she turned him down. Again, this guy was teaching an ethics class.
That's the most ethical helicopter you'll see.
So a tribunal board just found him guilty of professional misconduct, so he's still waiting to find out what his punishment
is. Wow, man.
Yeah.
Just real quick, I'd like to address, people keep bugging me individually about this, whether it be email, whether it be the comments, whether it be text messages. There was a football game in the NFL between the Seattle Seahawks and the Cleveland Browns. Yes, that was my brother that called the game. I will let him know. Everyone, and granted, we're in Seattle, so people seem very fond of him today. Mm-hmm. But I have gotten this question so many times. Yes, that was him. He called the game. There were some weird calls here and there. I spoke to him, I don't know, an hour and a half, about 2 hours after the game. He called me. I am at the soccer field watching my kid play. So we're kind of going back and forth. He did not know what had happened in any of the other games, right? So I filled him in on that, told him, man, you did a fine job. He said something about Baker Mayfield. I'm like, Baker Mayfield's a whiny bitch. Like, there's the MO. You have integrity. He's a whiny bitch. And it played out exactly the way it should be. Don't even sweat it. So, yes, that was my brother. That was the guy. And one thing I will point out about my brother doing this NFL officiating, okay? Now, I never gave this much thought, but if you were an NFL football fan and you watch it on TV, there are certain referees you're ultimately familiar with, and they have certain mannerisms or the way they... Who was it? Red Cashin or something?
Yeah.
First down!
Ed Hockley had his thing, the guns.
Ed Hockley, right. He did
the guns. Ed Hockley's son is doing it now.
Ed Hockley's son is doing it now, but they all have a little thing they do that people latch on to. And my brother said to me over the summer, like, I don't know what it is. My brother's not a showy person. He's not a flashy person. He wouldn't care if they pixelated his face on TV. None of that means anything. It's just the integrity of the game. He's as fun as he sounds. But he was like, man, but I got to do something. I'm like, you need to do something to cover your voice. Like, you got to do something. So a very own Mike Hawk pointed out today that my brother, I guess when he turns off the microphone, so when he has to do the TV thing, it's like, holding, you know, offense, blah, 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 all this crap. His flourish, it's not how he says first down or any of that. There's a way that he whips his arm around to turn off his mic, kind of like Pete Towson windmilling his guitar. Like, it's a little more extreme than it needs to be. But he wants to let you know that he's the man in charge.
That's cool.
Just watch for it next time, and then you won't not notice it again.
Huh.
It's cool.
Who was the old boxing ref that used to, like, touch his nose to, like, say hello to people?
I know. All
the big fights.
I think all boxers do that. Don't they thumb to nose, thumb to nose?
No, the boxer, this is the ref.
I know, but everybody involved in it, like trainers.
Right.
Well, it's not 1930.
Yeah, I know.
You think people are putting up their dukes?
Stop pushing everyone in the ring, just touching their nose back and forth.
Random. He was famous for that. Random.
Hello, Corey. Welcome to the men's room.
Angelo Dundee. Random.
Hola.
All right, Corey. Let's see here. Corey, what did you get too close to?
I got too close to an exhaust pipe.
How close to an exhaust pipe did you get and what happened?
I was actually working on a semi, and my buddy was running the truck, and a big old flame shot up, caught the back of my head, singed a hair, and ended up fried a little bit of the skin.
So basically the truck backfired on your leg?
On the back of my head.
Head. All the back of your head.
Working on it.
How much hair did you have at the time, and how much hair did you have after the fact?
I had a full head of hair. Pretty thick. But afterwards, I had pretty much a horseshoe bald spot on the back of my head.
Like a reverse Caesar.
Now, did it burn to the point where your hair didn't grow back, or did your hair grow back?
My hair grew back. I had a full head of hair again.
What he had that head of hair. All right.
Did you have to shave your, did you shave your head at that point in time just so you didn't look like Julius Caesar?
Yeah, I actually did.
Now, wait a minute. Did Julius Caesar actually have he just wore a laurel wreath? Or, like, this was an effort he made. It was not his hair.
Right.
We are being nice when we say you have a Caesar ring because you do not look like royalty. You look like a third grade biology teacher.
Mm-hmm. But back to the football thing, man, that's one of the greatest things in the world when they bring in those new kids and they actually shave a Caesar ring haircut into their head for their, you know, for their
spring, looking young. By the way, training. Ted, the person you're looking for, Mills Lane.
That's it. No Reese's name.
Reese, we asked, what did you get too close to? A woman from Naples reportedly had her arm and foot severed when she was hit by an airplane propeller on Saturday. Sheriff's office says it happened at the Key West International Airport. According to authorities, initial reports indicate the pilot and the female passengers, they were preparing to taxi in a private plane when the plane wouldn't move or was having some kind of unknown mechanical issue. Sheriff's office then said the pilot jumped out of the airplane while it was still running to see maybe if the blocks to keep the stationary plane on the tarmac were down there still in place or whatever. So the passenger also got out and walked to the front of the airplane where she was then hit by the propeller. A crew from the Key West Fire Department transported the woman to a medical center. She was then airlifted to Miami in stable condition. Sheriff's office says Florida Highway Patrol is handling the investigation. The woman's condition was not immediately available, and authorities say it's not clear what the issue the pilot was, what the plane was having when the accident, in fact, happened.
Oh, probably too many people in the propeller. I mean, look, propeller's already free. I've been on a helicopter twice, and both times I can't help but have my flashback to actor Vic Morrow, like... I duck down so low, people probably think I'm pranking them. Like, I'm just so convinced, you know, some little wind gust is going to, like, rip my head off. So I get on there, like, when you look at the evolution chart, I look like maybe second from the left. I am down about as far as I can go.
And how much wind is coming down at your body?
You know, honestly, I cannot recall.
It wasn't that bad.
Everyone else just stands there. Yeah. I'm like, I'm ducking.
I duck just because that's what they did on MASH.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's burned in my brain.
Like, yeah, right? Like, shot. No reason, but...
Yeah. You are listening to the Mentor Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Your guess is as good as mine on the way. Categories, Halloween candy and anxiety. First time for a few emails in the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com.
You've got
mail. So we got what's the category? Let's jump right into the birthdays, guys. Today is my son Gage's fourth birthday. He is a wild child that keeps us on our toes and loves the show just as much as we do. So how about some of Thrill's kids and maybe Coach Ted giving a pep talk about turning four and starting preschool? Ooh. By the way, guys, my husband was able to get Men's Room Red shipped into Ohio. By getting in contact with a local distributor, we have to order at least a little bit from them to ship it, but that's a pretty easy thing to do. We are on the second shipment. Take care, and thanks for all you do, guys, with the vets. That's from Heather.
Get.
Woo.
Get.
Start preschool. There's one thing Ted's Coach Smith loves. It's preschool. Why? Naps. Son, when you get older, naps are going to be a thing of the past. You're going to miss naps.
Yes.
I want you to go into preschool headstrong and ready to take that nap. Your teachers will love you.
Not bad advice.
It's the truth, though,
guys,
man.
This is a birthday shout-out
every day
to my son, John. He's turning 18 today. So how about the dirty Germans talking about his unsettling love of Ford trucks, please?
Yeah, if you like these Ford trucks so much, then you can be called truck nuts. But remember, everything you do now, you can be charged as an adult. Pick wisely.
Yeah, so keep things out of the exhaust pipe of that truck, okay?
Yeah. You're in privacy of your own garage. If people see, they call police.
Yeah.
It's only fun for the handcuffs.
Is that what Floormaster's about?
But y'all, today is my little brother Riley's birthday, and it's his 21st trip around the sun. Today we leave for Nashville to celebrate. So how about the dirty Germans talking about the fun he's going to have, and maybe a pep talk from Coach Ted about pushing through pilot school and getting a real job. Thanks, guys. That from his big brother James.
Yeah, have fun in Nashville. Go see the Grand Ole Opry. Yeah. And you can be the rhinestone reverse cowboy.
Yeah, also make sure you get some daddy's dogs.
Hot dog?
Yeah, Nashville.
It's yeah, dog be dog. Clear. Be yeah. Clear.
Okay.
It's incestuous strangeness.
It's a real shop, man. My buddy runs it, all right? His name's Big Daddy. They're delicious hot dogs.
Oh, those dogs are, yeah, they're looking at the guy that goes beard?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious. If you're in Nashville, please get some daddy's dogs. All right, son, you're in pilot school. That sounds wicked intense. Stay away from the propellers. I learned that earlier today on the show.
Great advice. Today, my buddy Avery is having a birthday. He was born in the late 1900s, so you know back when meth was healthy. Anyway, he's 22 today. We're both former Seattleites and now reside in Florida for some ungodly known reason. Anyway, I'm sure he'd love to hear Captain Crunch driving his boat while on acid. Thanks, guys. That from Brett.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I've never driven my boat without being on acid.
Gentlemen of Wapping, today is my brother Connor's
25th. Now I'm Betty Crunchberries. I said, hey, let's add sugar to fiberglass and see if kids will eat it.
But the berries...
Oh, boy. Brother Connor's 25th birthday, whole quarter century. When he was born, he had to undergo heart surgery just 6 weeks. We didn't know if he'd survive. 25 years later, he's here, and he is the best brother anyone could ask for. He's always there for his family whenever he's needed. He'd do anything for all of us. We love him. So how about a big Leroy Jenkins and the Dirty Germans talking about World of Warcraft? Love you, brother. That from Samantha.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Yeah, I do not know much about this World of Warcraft, but I do know that we can recreate the logo if you put a W on one butt cheek and a W on the other. You bend over. Wow.
Yeah, it's this place I go. It's this little club called the Snitzel Club. Behind door 6 is a World of Warcraft.
Yeah, at the Snitzel Club.
At the Snitzel Club.
Well known, yeah.
Yeah, door 6.
Guys!
Just like that one nerd.
Boyfriend, huge fan of the show. Today he's 27 years old. His name is Jacob. Was wondering if you guys could do a birthday shout out for him. So could I get some of Thrill's shotgun gets? And maybe a your penis is too small. Thanks from Junior.
Get it. Get
to my handsome, hardworking, and also appreciate a boyfriend, Nick. We're huge fans of the show. Please help me out by telling him what his gift is from me. I've been holding this surprise in and how much fun he'll have in the voices of the Dirty Germans. I love you, babe. That from Ashley.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you your surprise. To give you an idea, she will sound like this tonight.
Yeah, tonight you get to decide where you want to ice the cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all know what's going to end up.
Yeah, does she?
I think she has an idea.
If she was wearing goggles, I think she knows.
Yeah, it's like a celebration of a baseball team in here.
Yeah. Guys, my sister Elisa turns the big 4-0 today. So could Coach Ted give her a pep talk about leaving her 30s, please?
Good thing about leaving the 30s is there's no choice.
Face it easy.
The day is upon us. You're 40. Somebody about to be 40. Coach Smith thinks 40s are the new 30s, so you're in luck. 40's not what it used to be. It's a spry young age now.
Yes. Hi, guys. Here you go.
Happy birthday to you. Yaws of Dirty Germans, brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Schweinefleisch.
Delicious subject, the Men's Room Original Red. Ola Bichola sitting down enjoying my very first Men's Room Original Red. I don't go for darker ales or anything too hobby for me. I usually drink Hefs or wheat ales, but I got a six-pack from a buddy of mine last night and decided to give it a try. Have to say, I am now a huge fan. Not bitter, not too hoppy, has a great flavor and a clean aftertaste. So hats off to you and Elysian for a fine beer. That from Mike. Mike, thanks for the kind words. That's all on Elysian's hands.
You're talking about a beer?
are you talking about a legless rabbit that's in a good mood? Mm-hmm. See what it said? It's not too hoppy and not bitter.
There's a good one.
I thought he was just describing himself.
Yeah. always a good one to have a positive one. Here comes a positive email. I just have to thank you guys again for helping me out with laughter. My husband is now cancer-free, sore from surgery, but he is cancer-free. Yesterday, I actually belly laughed during Big Dummy. First time in months that I could actually laugh and mean it. Keep on rocking, guys. That from Patty C, or Patty the Puppy Eater, but not Barb the Tupperware Whore.
Oh,
puppy eater. On.
Is that a shot at Barb?
I don't know.
You eat puppies.
What did Barb do? Yeah. Guys, on the subject of drinking beer with fast food. On our summer vacation this year, we ate at the PDX Burgerville, and they served beers. It was awesome. I had two and enjoyed a relaxing first leg of our flight. As always, thanks for being you, and happy Friday, bitches. That from April down in Rainier, Oregon. Who listens to us on the radio.com app? A couple more here, guys. You were talking about the other day about the 17-year cicada that are in Baltimore. The last year was 2004, when you guys were still on the air out here, which means that we are due to have another cicada invasion in just another 2 years in 2021. Maybe I'll send Ted another chocolate cicada to eat. Second, regarding Bob Rivers in 98 Rock, he was in the 1988 season, not the strike season, that prompted Bob to sit on top of a billboard until the Orioles won a game. He started when the team began the year at 0-10. Unfortunately for him, his protest wound up lasting another 11 days as the Orioles went 0-21 the last year for the start of the season. Miss you guys here, but listen to every podcast. That from your longest listener, One-Eyed Greg in Reisterstown, Maryland. Speaking of that, isn't there a guy that's sitting on his house or living on top of his house in Cincinnati until the Bengals win? Did I hear that correctly?
Come on, man.
Yes.
He might
Did
be
they
up
win?
There. No. Hell no. They played the Ravens.
Their best chance to win, and I mean this, their best chance to win was playing the Ravens. If they lost, they're hopeless now.
Well, they got to play the Browns.
Yeah. And we've got one. Oh, by the way, we need to get a contestant online. For your guess is as good as mine. I completely flaked on that. Let's get a contestant now. 844-999-OLA. If you want to play Your Guess Is As Good As Mine. How I was messed over. Started dating a friend after I got a divorce who had a fat crush on me for years while I was married. He liked to take me on trips, and in order to be available for those trips, I had to restrict my work hours so he would help me pay my bills. He was a rich producer in California and did this for his previous girlfriend, too. Anyway, I dumped him because he was weird and just plain awful. Fast forward 1 year, and I get a notice from the IRS that I owe $25,000 in taxes. That dude turned in a 1099 to the tune of $62,500. I'm still fighting it with the IRS. Sincerely, that from Kari. One more. What do we got? Guys, I think I've shared before that I used to be a maid, and today's topic of who did you dirty reminded me of something I found out after the company had been sold. We were paid based on a percentage when we cleaned homes. Well, I cleaned for a city, and it was a contract with that city. My partner and I were paid a little more than the rest of the girls because it was more work. There would be days when I had to work alone because my partner would be sick, and my boss told me that based on the contract, I get an 8% increase when I work alone. Year goes by, and he sells the company to another owner. I have one day when I work alone, and my new boss proceeds to tell me that we should be getting the full percentage that our partner is paid when the other is not there, which was 25%. So this jackass pocketed money from me and my partner for over a year, and there was nothing we could do about it. And on top of this, the boss kept screwing up my checks. Thank God I don't clean anymore. That from the lovely Samantha. Okay, time for the Your Guess Is As Good As Mine. It's an easy game to play. We get a contestant online, then from there, you pick from one of two categories, and you try to get as many right in said category before three strikes, and you're out. Steve, who is our contestant, ready to play Your Guess Is As Good As Mine?
Hello, Patrick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Patrick, welcome to the program. Your guess is as good as mine. As far as polar opposites, we've got them here for you on our categories today that you can choose from. So we have the top 10 things that give us anxiety. A new poll found the top 10 things that give us anxiety, and they're basically what you think they should be as far as stressful situations and as life goes. And then we have the 10 most loved Halloween candies in 2019. So specifically based on this year, we have the top 10 candies, or we have the top 10 things that give us anxiety. Where are you going, Patrick? On Your Guess Is As Good As Mine.
Let's go candy.
Candy it is. I'm glad you said that. It's giving me anxiety.
You picked the category, man.
Yeah,
that's bull crap.
Person, so.
Here's what happened, Patrick.
Steve hands me this thing and he goes, I think you could do this.
Now, oh, that out, one. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, Steve.
Well,
I'll
now
do
it's
this
different.
One.
I remember that list now. Yeah, no, right. No, you're good.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice. Oh, you can pull this off. You've got anxiety. Do it.
I inadvertently threw you under the bus there. My apologies.
Well, it's weird. Sugar gives me anxiety.
Yeah. All right, Patrick. Let's see here. The website candystore.com puts out a list each year of the least popular Halloween candies. And those big orange circus peanuts have been dethroned again. Least popular Halloween candy this year is candy corn. But they also list the top 10 favorite candies. And these are candies that you should buy if you want trick-or-treaters to be happy and not egg your house. So, Patrick, the way we do your guess is as good as mine, is you got to get as many right in said category before three strikes and you're out. What are the top 10 favorite Halloween candies?
Let's go. Now, is it like, are every candy bar their own one, or is it like candy
bars? Well, of course.
Bars?
No, I mean, like,
I'll tell you this.
Like, is it Snickers one, or is it like candy bars encompasses all of them?
Three of these are sugar-based candies. The rest are some kind of chocolate-based candy.
All right, so yeah, I would go Snickers.
You wouldn't like gummy candies or sour candies.
So, like if you were to say Sweet Tarts, that would be right. A sugar-based candy. Where if you were to say a Milky Way bar, that would be chocolate-based. So there's only two sugary things. Okay, everything else is basically chocolate-based. That makes sense.
All right, Snickers.
Snickers, number two. That is your second favorite Halloween candy.
Ton of Reese's peanut butter cups.
Right?
That's my favorite.
Twix?
Yeah, Twix is strong.
Yet, Milky Way?
Milky Way! People hate it.
Hey, people like Milky Way. They're called grandparents.
Because I can't eat nuts with my dentures.
Exactly. I love a Snickers.
Yeah, Mike, I know you do. You're an old man stuck in a young man's body.
I know. Come on, Mike. It's not even fair.
Milky Way. Come on. Who buys a Milky Way? All right,
get you a tab to go with it.
Reese's Cups.
Reese's Cup is number one overwhelmingly. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there was nothing even close to the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup other than Snickers, but it was a pretty good percentage away. Reese's number one. You got that one. And Snickers number two. You have one strike against you. There are eight most popular Halloween candies remaining in 2019.
Let's go Twix.
Twix. Number three. And one of my favorites.
Oh, nice.
Between the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup and the Twix.
Have you had the peanut butter Twix?
Ooh, no.
There's a peanut butter Twix. I do not know if they make them seasonally, if I just can't find them. That is one of the best candy bars I've ever eaten in my life. My life, Miles.
All right, Patrick. You got three correct.
Let's try Sour Patch Kids.
You're kidding me. Sour Patch Kids? Yes, it's on the list. It is number eight. I had no idea that would be on there, but you got that one right for sure.
I love those.
Sour Patch Kids, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Snickers, and Twix, all correct answers. Ted, you got four out of the ten.
Ted, you're one of the few people, like, I'm heavy on the chocolate end, not big on the sugar end, as Miles described it.
Yeah.
You are big on both. Most people I know, it's one or the other.
Swedish Fish and Sour Patch Kids are the best.
Unbelievable, man. You're a disgrace.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Runts?
If Runts are on
there. What's the little box at Halloween? And you can dump
like
a bunch
nerds.
Of...
Nerds!
You gotta go Nerds, Patrick?
Yeah, let's go Nerds.
Nerds number six.
Really?
Now, you've gotten all of the sugar-based candies out of the way. So, Sour Patch Kids... Oh, there's one more. I apologize. There is one more candy that's not a chocolate on the list.
Come on, Ted. What do you think?
I'm trying to think. It's like Nerds, you only see them at Halloween. Maybe Sweet Tarts show for Halloween. Theaters, right?
Yeah, but do people love Sweet Tarts? You know what I mean? Like, that's like a
what
consolation.
About Starburst?
Starburst is not a bad guess, but it's not a list.
I like that little two-pack.
You talking
about the rapper?
I'll give you one hint. Money Lynch.
Oh, Skittles, dude. Skittles.
Oh, there you go.
Skittles is number nine. Okay. Two strikes, Patrick. One strike remaining. And so far, you've gotten six out of the 10 of the most popular Halloween candies. And all of these are candy bars.
No,
that's not
just
true.
A Hershey bar.
Hershey bar, just a classic Hershey bar. That's number 10.
All right, what about M&M's or peanut M&M's?
M&M's got to be on the
right.
That's what I was thinking, but I guess M&M's.
Number five.
Yeah, come on. I just remember being a kid. That was...
Patrick, the heat's on. You've got eight out of the 10.
Mike Hawk is suggesting Three Musketeers, which I don't know because Milky Way didn't make it, but also Kit Kats.
Kit Kats.
Ah, Kit Kat.
Kit Kat, number four. You are nine of 10.
All right, now listen.
Two strikes, one answer remains here, Patrick.
This is the bottom of the ninth. Either you swing for the fences or you fail. But some of the suggestions in. Butterfinger, I don't know. But I feel like I only eat Butterfingers around Halloween.
Ooh.
I mean, you're right. People don't like Three Musketeers.
For the fences, Butterfinger.
You want to go Butterfinger?
Let's go.
That's it, you win! 10 out of 10!
On
your guess is as good as mine! And the worst part is you don't win anything! Unbelievable, there you go, the most popular Halloween candies in 2019. At number 10, the classic Hershey bar. At number 9, Skittles, followed by Sour Patch Kids at 8, Butterfinger at 7, Nerds coming in at 6, in 5th place, M&M's, followed by your top 5, Kit Kats, Twix at 3, Snickers at 2, the number one Halloween candy, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. By the way, if you hate candy and you hate your kids, you hate Halloween, you want to give away candy corn, circus peanuts, Mary Jane taffy, wax Coke bottles, Necco wafers, Tootsie Rolls, Smarties, licorice, Good and Plenty, and Bit O' Honey.
In other words, pretend you're 93 years
old. Nice work, Patrick. 10.
That's what? The second time that's happened.
That was good stuff right there. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hola, bitch, hola. You have entered the men's room.
In 5 short minutes, we'll drink a toast for the shot of the day. But first,
it's been said that there are no stupid questions. We disagree. Because you keep asking them.
Will I ever find love? Why is the sky blue? Is that rash an STD? Is the world round? Is my mom a whore?
Questions that need answers. And yes, we can help. This is Ask the Men's Room.
If you have a question for any of us here in the men's room, just shoot us an email to the men's room at mensroomlive.com. Make the subject Ask the Men's Room and ask away. We'll start with this one. Subject is in the studio. Hola.
Hola.
My name is Jesse.
Hey, Jesse.
I was curious about the live studio audience. I listen to you guys every day while I'm driving home from work, and I always hear that the episode was taped in front of a live studio audience.
Say hello.
Is that an actual audience of guests, or are they workers in your studio? Now, I'm asking you guys because I run a podcast with my best friend, Caden, about
breast
beer.
Friend.
No. My best friend, Caden. About beer, and I was curious if it was possible for us to see what it looks like when you guys do your thing. We're extremely new at recording, and I know radio is much different, but I was hoping that we could see what it looked like on a large professional scale. If that is possible, I'd love to hear back from you guys. That from Jesse, who says, thanks, and our podcast is called Anti-Fogmatic. We have 13 episodes in, and our second season starts in December. Jesse, we would love to have you in. Maybe we'll schedule something when we're not on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is we are no longer allowed to have a live studio audience as far as you know, based on the fact of the incident.
That is what we call it, the incident.
Which we are legally, contractually unable to talk about. But we had an incident, and therefore, you know what they say, one person ruins it for everybody?
And their name is Miles?
Yeah, that one person still somehow ruins it for everybody. And because of that, you can't come in. So, but maybe before the show.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
We can work something out. Or, you know.
What's the name of the podcast? Anti-Fog?
It's called Anti-Fogmatic.
Anti-Fogmatic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, guys. At what point would you all say that too much is too much in the sense of failed relationships? Like, do you keep going? Or do you give up at some point because they all end in failure? That from James.
Well, I guess any relationship that ends, barring death, ends in failure. But I don't know that most people look at it that way.
Yeah.
I think when you go into a relationship, You swing for the fences and see what happens.
Right. Or you can just drag it on and on and on and on for years and years and years. Like some people I know.
Yeah, just keep trying, dude.
Look.
Seriously, I mean, right? I mean, that's part of falling in love and out of love with people.
Yeah. That's when they say life's a bitch. That's all part of it.
Here's more. All the gents, I'll
don't
keep
give
this
up.
Brief.
Don't be that guy. Nobody
don't
likes that
give
guy.
Up. Subject for Ask the Men's Room. Guys, I've got a couple questions. Whatever happened to Bad Choice Friday, and why did it drop from the show?
I can answer that. The main reason was because there's a number of different affiliates that carry us across the country.
Mm-hmm.
They all have different formats based on the city they're in. So we're on a classic rock station, KGON in Portland. They play classic rock.
Right.
If you go to The Man in Miami, Florida, they are a straight talk show, radio show. So
right.
They're not even licensed to play music on BMI because they don't play music.
Right.
So we can't go play the Bee Gees, and God forbid the people in Portland would hear the Bee Gees on the air Friday. They would lose a goddamn
you
mind.
You will not disparage against
I'm
the
I'm just
Bee
Gees. Telling you what
I
would
know
happen.
That they are because everyone's go-to, but you will not disparage the Bee Gees.
There's all kinds of different formats
the
out there.
The brothers, mm-hmm. Yeah.
They carry the show.
Imagine they're my like, surprise when they were white.
Oh, my God. You know, they're playing Earth, Wind, and
I
Fire
I thought it was
September.
Tyrese.
This is terrible. And we're just in here dancing, loving it. But apparently, you know what I mean? We like all kinds of music. So that's why that one hit the fan. Guys, is the men's room members only question still a thing for Big Dummy? Those were particularly hilarious. And it would be a downer if they are not featured anymore. Thanks, guys. That from Alex, Fleet Admiral of Thrills Royal Navy.
Well, Alex, I'll be dead honest with you. I kind of totally forgot about them. And then believe it or not, last Thursday, I'm digging through my notes. If you look at my desk, you think something's happened to me. Nothing's happened, but it's very messy. But I'm digging through my notes, and I saw a long sheet I had where the questions were specifically, essentially we set it up. One of the members of the men's room has factually done blank, and it can be arrested, fought a dog, whatever it was. So I'll throw one out there. Email us if you think you know the answer. This is the only one I had written that I had not asked. This particular member of the men's room has a unique talent to catch grapes in her mouth. I'm seeing from damn near any reasonable distance that it can be thrown. This member of the men's room. That's the only one of the questions I had written down that we had not gotten
and
to.
And sometimes when they miss, it rolls off onto their chin.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll leave it at that.
If you have a question for any of us here in the men's room, just shoot us an email to themensroom@mensroomlive.com. Make the subject, ask the men's room, and ask away. All right, Wobbin, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. Today we toast an unidentified woman in her 70s from Iwaki City, Japan. Now, as you may or may not know, a major typhoon slammed into Japan over the weekend. They gave it a name. I'm not sure how to pronounce this. H-A-G-I-B-I-S. Hagibis. Anyway, Typhoon Hagibis slammed into Japan over the weekend, and it's caused some pretty major devastation. Last I checked, 33 people were in fact confirmed dead, 11 missing, 187 injured. Over 125,000 homes have been flooded. But luckily for our honoree, a rescue helicopter did manage to snag her from her home before it succumbed to the rising floodwaters. Now, unlucky for our honoree, she was, as they're saying, not properly secured in the helicopter, and she fell 131 feet to her death in the floodwaters below. Think about this. She is rescued from a house that is flooding. They get her on. They're saying they did not properly secure. She fell out of the helicopter. And they just watched her splash into the water below, raising the death toll to 34. It just seems like, so they did a press conference. They apologized.
Oh, my God.
And apparently, the traditional apology, picture this, you apologize, and then it's Japan. It's just this long bow, an exaggeratedly long bow. That's the... But translated to American audiences, oops, our bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. What the? Trust me.
It's awful.
It is awful.
I'm sorry, but it's just the way you describe it. I'm just like,
I mean, it is what it is. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola. It's going to get tested online for profile. This will take caller 9 now at 844-999-HOLA.
Shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.